Hi everyone, welcome back to the Daily Gospel Exegesis podcast. Thanks for all those who listen regularly. I pray that you're blessed by this podcast, by listening in every day, taking a look at the literal sense of Scripture. So the idea is, before you go to Mass and you hear the sermon about this passage, you can get a good grounding in the literal sense of Scripture. That's what we're trying to do in this podcast. And I know so many of you are benefiting from this approach. If you do enjoy this podcast, if you feel like you're being blessed by it, then please tell other people about it. If we want this ministry and this podcast to grow, it really only does that by word of mouth, by you guys, the listeners, telling other people about it. Please also consider leaving a review on iTunes or your other provider next time that pops up as an option. Please do leave a positive review and subscribe on YouTube as well. All of these things help the internet providers work out that this is a podcast that people enjoy. And there's more things we'd like to do with this ministry, but really, we need you to spread the word and tell others how this podcast works and how it's benefited you. So today's reading at Mass is Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you disguised as sheep, but underneath are ravenous wolves. You will be able to tell them by their fruits. Can people pick grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, a sound tree produces good fruit, but a rotten tree, bad fruit. A sound tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a rotten tree bear good fruit. Any tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown on the fire. I repeat, you will be able to tell them by their fruits." So that's our passage for today, and we're right in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is giving an extended sermon about what true righteousness is. And in chapter 7, he's discussing all sorts of topics about the kingdom of God and what true righteousness is and how to distinguish false Christians from true Christians. Verse 15 we get to today, it says, "Jesus said to his disciples," now that's not in the original, he's actually speaking to the crowds here. And then he says this, "Beware of false prophets." Now, in the Old Testament, there is quite a lot of discussion about true prophets and false prophets. So when Jesus here mentions false prophets, he probably has that background in mind. So if you go to Deuteronomy 18, Jeremiah 14, it talks about false prophets and how you can tell if they're false prophets. And basically, a false prophet was someone who claimed to speak for God, but their teachings were not God's will. That's essentially what a false prophet was in the Old Testament. Now, in the context of this section in Matthew, it looks like Jesus intends his readers to understand that false prophets are Christian leaders who claim to follow Jesus, but who don't actually follow his teaching. So they claim that Jesus is their Lord and that they're Christian, but actually by their actions, they don't follow his teaching. That appears to be what's meant by a false prophet here. Now, that would match well with what Jesus says shortly. Later, Jesus will talk about, in the same sermon, he's going to talk about a group of people who on Judgment Day will say to Jesus, "Lord, Lord, did we not?" And then he goes on from there. This seems to be the same group of people. So people who claim to be Christians, but they're not. They're false prophets. Now, since these are depicted as people who can lead other Christians astray, I think we can determine that these false prophets are Christians in positions of leadership. So Jesus is foreseeing that there'll be people who have an influence in the Christian community and are trying to persuade Christians to follow them or follow their teaching. But Jesus says they're false prophets. They don't actually follow Jesus' own teaching. Now, when we get to the Catechism, we'll see that the Catechism takes this to be a reference to the scribes and the Pharisees. That's who Jesus is talking about when he talks about false prophets, according to the Catechism. It's scribes and Pharisees, and that would certainly fit as well. Although I think probably in a more concrete way, it would certainly apply to those in the coming years, after Jesus says these words, who are going to lead the Christian community. So if we were going to apply this to today's culture, today's church, the best application we can give would be those who are in Christian leadership and who claim to follow Jesus, but some aspect of their teaching or their life is actually leading people astray. And Jesus here gives a further description. "They come to you disguised as sheep, but underneath are ravenous wolves." So basically, these are people who appear to be true Christians, but they're actually not. At first glance, you might look at this phrase, the phrase, they come to you in sheep's clothing. You might think that these false prophets are deliberately lying and deceiving people. But I don't think it has to be understood this way. We can understand this description here as wolves in sheep's clothing, as they themselves think that they're sheep, but in fact that they're wolves. So they're self-deceived. These are people who believe they're doing the right thing. We'll see that in verse 23, because this group of people hypothetically says to Jesus, did we not cast out demons? And they list all these things they've been doing. So they think they're doing the right thing, but in fact, they're self-deceived. So in other words, these false prophets are people who genuinely believe they've done good. That appears to be the case. They believe they've done good. They believe they're Christians. But in fact, they've been doing evil works. And basically, it's because they don't follow Jesus' commandments. They just call themselves Christian, but they don't actually follow Jesus' words. So these false prophets maybe appear to be harmless when they first arrive, but because they don't follow Jesus' commandments, their ministry breeds error and division in the Christian community. And in this sense, they're wolves, because of the outcome that it causes in the Christian community. It causes error and division. Which, of course, is exactly what a wolf would do to a sheep. It would divide the sheep and make them scatter. So it's a group of Christian leaders who are self-deceived. They genuinely think they're Christian and they're doing the right thing, but because they're not following Jesus' teachings, they are false prophets. So you'll sometimes in today's church hear this phrase thrown around a bit, as in, that Christian leader is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And we need to be careful about using the phrase in that way. A wolf in sheep's clothing is someone who believes they're Christian, who genuinely believes that, and they believe they're doing the right thing, but actually they don't follow Jesus' teaching. So that would be the best way to think about that. Jesus is now going to tell his hearers how to discern the difference between a true and false prophet. So we should listen to this. How do you tell if someone is a true or false prophet? You can't just call them that. You need to have evidence. Verse 16, you'll be able to tell them by their fruits, or more literally, you will know them by their fruits. So Jesus here tells his followers that they can discern false prophets by their fruits, which we know from elsewhere in the Gospels means their behavior and their actions. So how does this person behave? What are their actions? Does it line up with Jesus' own teaching? That's how you'll tell a false prophet. Not by their words, because sometimes these false prophets can have quite powerful and sly words. So that's not always going to help you, but their behavior and their actions will help you. And particularly, one aspect that comes out later in Matthew's gospel is a genuine Christian will show repentance of their sins. And of course, they'll follow Jesus' teachings. So Jesus says to his hearers, you need to be careful, because in the coming years after I'm gone, there's going to be some Christian leaders that come along and claim to be Christian and are going to say quite powerful things and may even, in fact, be able to do quite amazing things. But you need to discern, does their behavior show repentance and are they following Jesus' own teachings? Jesus goes on, can people pick grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? So the obvious answer to this is supposed to be no. Right, Jesus says that's not possible to pick grapes from thorns or figs from thistles. That's not how the trees work. Jesus says, in the same way, a sound tree produces good fruit and a rotten tree bad fruit. Another translation here of bad fruit is evil fruit. So the bad tree bears evil fruit. Now, this is just how trees work biologically. Healthy trees produce healthy fruit. Bad trees or rotten trees produce bad fruit. That's just how it works. And Jesus is going to say that's basically how you can tell a false prophet, based on their fruit. That will tell you about the nature of the tree. Verse 18, a sound tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a rotten tree bear good fruit. So if a person produces the good works that God wants, then they're true prophets and they're followers of Jesus. These are the people who in verse 23, Jesus will say they do the will of the Father. That's someone who produces good fruit. And of course, the whole Sermon on the Mount is about how do you do the will of the Father. And Jesus says, on the other hand, if the works of this alleged prophet are not according to Jesus' teachings, if they're not doing what Jesus says you should do, then he's a false prophet and cannot be trusted. So Jesus tells his disciples, many of them who are uneducated, by the way, so many of them may not be able to discern error in the false prophet's teachings, but they can certainly tell by the lifestyle, the behavior of the prophet to determine whether they are a true Christian or a false Christian. So in today's Christian world, often you'll be encouraged to, search these matters out for yourself and study the theology. If you hear a certain preacher preaching something, you can sort of do a bit of research and work out whether their theology is sound or not. Keep in mind, in the original context, most of Jesus' hearers could not do that. Many of them couldn't read. Some of them were not educated. Almost none of them had access to the Old Testament manuscripts. So they couldn't really do research to determine whether someone's teachings were in alignment with the gospel. Now, of course, they could compare it with what they're hearing from the apostles' teachings. But the best way in the everyday circumstances to determine whether someone is a true or false prophet is to look at their lifestyle and their behavior. Verse 19, any tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown on the fire. Now, in that culture, that's exactly what happened. If a tree was not producing fruit, it wasn't worth anything, so it was thrown on the fire, often used for fuel. Now, in this context, it might be a reference to hell. Jesus is sort of warning them, any tree that does not produce good fruit, as in any Christian that does not do the will of the Father, that does not follow Jesus' commandments, will end up in hell. And that would certainly fit with what Jesus says in the next section. He actually gets quite intense about what he says Judgment Day is going to look like for people who claim to be Christian but don't do what Jesus wants. Verse 20, I repeat, you will be able to tell them by their fruits. So Jesus says this is an important principle. He repeats it again, and we should keep this in mind as well. Now, this is the end of this section, but that leads straight into the next section, which is where Jesus talks about people, it is not those who say to me, Lord, Lord, who will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the person who does the will of my Father in heaven. That's the very next thing Jesus says. So it's all quite clearly connected. So if we want to summarize this whole section of teaching, here's one way we can summarize what Jesus is trying to get at here on the level of the literal sense. Knowing about Jesus is not good enough. You need to follow his commandments, particularly the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. That is the will of the Father. It seems that Jesus is predicting that some so-called Christians in the coming years will become self-deceived. They know about Jesus and they think they're doing magnificent things. And they think, and so for that reason, they think that they're true Christians, but they did not follow Jesus' teachings. Or in other words, they didn't follow the Father's will. And the way you can tell that is because they don't produce good fruits. So they're synonymous. Following Jesus' teachings, following the Father's will, producing good fruits. It's the same thing in Matthew's gospel. Therefore, these people are labeled false prophets, according to Jesus, because they were producing bad fruits. And therefore, the final conclusion of this section will be that Jesus never knew them, because they did not follow his teachings. So it does end up with quite a strong crescendo there. Jesus says, such people never knew Jesus, even though they claim to. Let's now turn to the Catechism. There's two interesting paragraphs which refer to this part of Matthew chapter 7. Paragraph 2285, respect for the souls of others. So this is in the section about scandal. Scandal takes on a particular gravity by reason of the authority of those who cause it or the weakness of those who are scandalized. It prompted our Lord to utter this curse. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Scandal is grave when given by those who by nature or office are obliged to teach and educate others. Jesus reproached the scribes and Pharisees on this account. He likens them to wolves in sheep's clothing. So here, as we said, the Catechism takes this reference about wolf in sheep's clothing to apply to the leaders in his own day, the scribes and the Pharisees. And as we've seen, that same description will certainly apply to the leaders in the early Christian community. Paragraph 2005, this is about grace and how grace works in salvation. Since it belongs to the supernatural order, grace escapes our experience and cannot be known except by faith. We cannot therefore rely on our feelings or our works to conclude that we are justified and saved. However, according to the Lord's words, thus you will know them by their fruits, reflection on God's blessings in our life and in the lives of the saints offers us a guarantee that grace is at work in us and spurs us on to an ever greater faith and an attitude of trustful poverty. A pleasing illustration of this attitude is found in the reply of Saint Joan of Arc to a question posed as a trap by her ecclesiastical judges. Asked if she knew that she was in God's grace, she replied, "If I am not, may it please God to put me in it. If I am, may it please God to keep me there." So that catechism paragraph finishes by quoting Saint Joan of Arc. And you probably heard that reference in that paragraph there to Jesus' words, "Thus you will know them by their fruits." So here the catechism is trying to get across that you can never be known. It's very hard to know for certain that you're going to be saved. We can't have that kind of absolute confidence, but we can have a reasonable confidence if we reflect on our life and the fruits we're producing. That can be an indication of whether we are true Christians or not. And that catechism paragraph needs a little more unpacking in terms of salvation theology. So I'll include both of those paragraph references for you in the episode description. Thanks once again for listening today. I hope you're enjoying this and learning something new. If you are, please share it around and consider becoming a Patreon supporter. There's all sorts of benefits available to you, and the link for that is in the episode description. Thanks, and we'll continue in the Sermon on the Mount in the coming days.